The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy's good.
Good and terrible.
Drive Time Sports, presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, your sports action hub with over 54 TVs so you don't miss out on the action, located at Woodman and I-25. The only place to hear talk about your teams.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs sports radio, Wheels.
Good Wednesday to you. We are all together, we being Ryan, Chris, Wheels, and you. So we are all here together for the next 3 hours, and we got a lot planned for you. Coming up on today's show, we discuss Adam Silver's answer to super teams. Build more super teams. Also, we will hold our U.S. Open draft. This is, like, Chris does a lot of great things, has a lot of great ideas. Nothing is better than us drafting golfers for majors.
It's fun.
I love it.
It's fun.
And you, the listener, get a chance to play along. Like, look, there's a senior circuit and there's a junior circuit. The three of us in this room are on the senior circuit, okay? We will compete against each other.
Yeah.
You will compete with your peers, fellow listeners, and what will they win, Chris?
So we got it for a foursome at King's Deer with Cart again. And I have to tell you, the listener that won it last time, I guess he goes out there from time to time now, so... It's in great shape. They tarped the greens all winter, so it's going to be a blast.
So there you go. That is what you can win if you compete in our U.S. Open draft with your fellow listeners. So the Rockies lose again last night. That's three in a row now.
There's a manager there that hates the Rockies.
That is true. Third time this season they have lost three games. They have never lost four in a row this season.
I'm not even worried. I kind of feel like this is like, does it take a damper on the Cubs and the Indians for you now that the Pirates are putting it on them? It doesn't to me. I think
no,
it happens.
No, but there are certain aspects of this, and I spoke about this yesterday, and it is. We'll see if it continues tonight when Herman Marquez takes the hill. When we know that Freeland and Senzatella, John Gray when he comes back, Jeff Hoffman, at some point will have spells like they're having now.
Right, they're rookies.
Where very predictable, maybe their stuff isn't as good, they're going to get knocked around. Teams are going to figure them out a little bit. Now, it's not to lose all hope, but at the same time, when that happens, something that happened Sunday but didn't happen two nights ago was... the offense picking up. The offense gave Kyle Freeland no help on Monday.
Right.
And they battled all the way back against the Cubs on Sunday to help out Senzatella. And they've actually been doing that the last few games. So it doesn't bother me. I mean, it bothers me, but it doesn't worry me, I should say, that the Rockies have lost three in a row. But there are parts of this that are troubling, namely Carlos Gonzalez. We had spent much of the first
month. Dude, they have three pitchers batting every night. They have the pitcher, Cargo, and Trevor.
And Trevor Story, yep. Cargo went 0 for 4 last night. He is now 0 for his last 24 with a walk. That's it. That's the only time he's been on base. He walked once. Okay, his batting average, worst. If the season ended today type of thing, he would have his worst batting average. He'd have his worst on-base percentage, his worst slugging percentage, his worst weighted on-base average, which is an advanced analytics type of term, but it's just basically how much do you get on base, how valuable are you in getting on base. Runs created, worst, his WAR is negative.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst right
That's
now
for
of
Cargo.
His career.
Holy cow.
On the against the Cubs on Sunday, 0-for-1 with the runner in scoring position. Bases loaded, down 4-1, he struck out. Monday night, stepped up first and second, down 4-0, he flied out. He's batting 154 with runners in scoring position on the year. And it's even worse with just runners on base, not even right. ones in scoring position. Guys are on first, and he's batting a .149. This is... And I get your point about Trevor Story. But this is unacceptable for a guy that is in the middle of the lineup. But you will ask, those of you who follow the Rockies closely, you'll say, Dahl's still hurt, Parr's on the 10-day DL, what are they supposed to do? Why not play the Tapia kid? Why not play Raimel Tapia?
Because they are praying that Cargo gets his stuff together so they can trade him.
Maybe, but he right now, Trevor Story is not hitting well, but I would say Cargo is a liability. You are sticking him in the middle of your order night after night.
Yeah.
And he is not producing for you at all. He's not setting the table. He's not driving guys in. He's not even really working counts. If you look at him up there, he's very impatient. He's swinging at bad pitches. And we always talk about the rotation. You have to leave Hoffman in there. Why? Because it's all about you got to push your chips to the middle of the table.
Mm-hmm.
You have a chance to potentially make the playoffs. You need to make every move that gives you a better chance to win. Jeff Hoffman in the rotation gives you a better chance to win. Carlos Gonzalez, not in the middle of the lineup. If you want to try to bat him eighth, Bud Black, you be my guest. But you cannot have him hitting behind Nolan Arenado, who, by the way, is not exactly lighting the world
That's
on fire.
That's the amazing thing about this team right now. Offensively, it's not even close to what it could be if they
that
got this
true.
Stuff taken care of. So that's why, like, when I say I'm not worried, I'm not really worried about it. I mean,
but
if they make the playoffs, I'm happy. But, like, this is fun to watch, like, good baseball.
And I don't think that they're going to go completely in the tank.
Right.
But I'm also saying that we watch Cargo, and we just had this conversation a month or so ago. He does this, right?
Yeah.
His entire career, he has one big slump.
Starts out crappy.
And then he comes back up, mm-hmm. and then he levels out.
Yeah.
This second drop is unlike Cargo, and yeah. this is unlike a guy. This is more like a guy that is in getting into his mid-30s and is
he
about
only hit
done.
Good for like a week this year. Like there was a week where he was on a tear. The rest of the time, it's been really bad.
Drive Time Sports here on Extra Sports 1300. So Vance Joseph yesterday was like, yeah, you know that thing that all of you have been talking about nonstop for the past, when did last season end? Anyway, that
last
thing
draft,
that you were talking
really.
About, don't talk about it anymore because I don't even give a care anymore. Vance Joseph saying he will not evaluate the quarterbacks to the fall. But there's still Broncos things going on, so we enlisted the help of Grant Meech from Channel 5 to tell us what the heck else we're supposed to worry about up at Dove Valley. Hey, Grant.
I was not sure that there was even anything else going on other than Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch. Like, I didn't even know there was 51 other people on the roster other than those two guys.
Did you find it interesting that Paxton offered up the fact that he's homeschooled? That was weird.
I guess I knew that, so it wasn't a shock to me.
No, it was like weird. He's like, I was lucky, man, because
I was
homeschooled.
Homeschooled.
Right. Yeah. All right. I just thought it was weird he brought it up. I never hear NFL players talk about their high school days.
I mean, I
really,
I was above average in high school, so why not talk about it?
That's true, man. My high school days was awesome. O'Doyle rules.
Oh, God, You were Matthew McConaughey from Days Confused.
That's so much worse. That's so much worse than
O'Doyle. Totally Wooderson.
Fine.
You were totally Wooderson. Your wife's gonna be like 12 years younger than you.
You know the best thing about high school? Okay. Anyway.
I have two girlfriends by the same age. Man got famous off of being a total creep.
That's true. All right, all right, all right.
No, I mean, like, to answer your question, though, it's like, that's all anybody wants to talk about. And frankly, you know, like, I mean, it's like, what else are we going to talk about in the middle of, you know, in the middle of May and now in the, you know, middle of June, when we're over two, almost 3 months away from any sort of game happening? The Broncos roster is largely kept intact. You know, we're bringing in Garrett Bowles, but that storyline has been kind of, they've beaten that down because he's, you know, in the mix with Tysean Brown now. So then my question back is, like, all of a sudden Tysean Brown got really, really good. It can happen. Yeah. It's just, you know, last year everybody was, like, ready to, you know, send him back to NAIA. And now he's, you know, now he's in the mix to start again. So just there's not a whole lot going on with the Broncos in this time of year. So, you know, really the only storyline we really had was Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian.
Well, and it's not to pile on Cameron Wolf. He does a great job, and there's, you know, people whose whole life revolves around that team up at Dove Valley. Thankfully,
right.
You and we have opportunities to talk about other things and to cover other things, but his headline is Vaughn is Vaughn, or something like Vaughn Miller is still Vaughn Miller. Like
right.
That, like, if you're not talking about the quarterbacks, that's it.
Right.
I mean, you've got, I mean, listen, I mean, like, I mean, the thing is, like, think about it. What else? I mean, they did not. There was no big, sexy free agent acquisition for the Broncos in the offseason. They brought in two nose guards. They brought in two offensive guards. They brought in Jamal Charles, which on paper sounds good, but we don't really know what we're going to get in Jamal Charles. Like, if this was Jamal Charles 5 years ago,
yeah.
Okay. Right. Like, wow, that's a great pickup. That's a really good move. And obviously we know what happened to him when he got injured, but still, like, Jamal Charles 5-6 years ago was, that would have been a really, really good pickup for the Broncos. Now it's like, but what condition is he going to be in? How's his knee? How durable is he going to be out there? So they didn't really do anything like all that amazing in the offseason. And then they bring in their draft pick. And what did they draft in the first round? They drafted an offensive tackle. So you're talking about the meat and potatoes of an offense of a roster, which is incredibly important, but none of that's sexy. Nobody is getting all jacked up to go watch the left tackle battle, or who's going to really emerge at the three technique or the one technique. This doesn't really happen. So there's really not a whole lot of storylines going on with the Broncos right now.
There's, you know? There's one that interests me.
Paxton and Siemian, you know?
Yeah. Well, the one that's interesting to me is one of the sexy free agents they brought in, Ronald Leary. He was playing left guard, and they moved him over to right guard. And Vance Joseph today said something telling to me. He said Max Garcia, in order to be the best Max Garcia, has to play left guard. And for me, that is like that's a death sentence for Max Garcia. I feel like he's putting on the left, and if it doesn't work there, they got to find somebody else.
This is where you and me differ, because to me, having been a former and slightly current, still unathletic fat kid, I played offensive line. I played it in high school. And I realized that when you play from high school to college and professionals, the level rises and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's still blocking. It's still getting in a three-point stance. You're still run blocking. You're still pass blocking. You're doing it on the left side as opposed to the right side. Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. The only thing that maybe slightly changes in that is when you have a left tackle versus a right tackle. Because if you have a right-handed quarterback, which most of the quarterbacks are, then your left tackle is far more important than your right tackle. But my point being is that we make it sound like, you know, he's learning trigonometry out there, or they're trying to transition Ronald Leary or Max Garcia into playing a tight end position. I'm like, stop it. This is blocking, tackling, it's fundamentals. It's at its lowest form, and yet we're making it sound like him putting his right hand down or his left hand down or his right hand on the left side or his left hand on the right side. Stop. Stop it.
I just felt like
double, all of these guys are so good professionally that they'll be able to adapt. And so when we get hypersensitive about, and I'm not just talking about what you're talking about, Chris. I'm talking about this is in general. This is to me, myself, to everyone, that we get so hypersensitive about a lineman moving again somewhere in the interior. It's like, come on, people. It's blocking and tackling. We're not. It's not rocket science. It's not. They're going to be fine.
So basically, Vance Joseph said Max Garcia sucks on the right.
I guess that's the only thing I can think of. To me, that just says, Max Garcia, you suck in general. If you can't go from, if you're having a tough time being on the right side, and oh, no, now we, or you're having a tough time on the right side because you're not on the left. Sorry, bro. Sorry, Buttercup. I mean, it's pro football, man. Quote your boy Dan Hawkins. It ain't your murals, brother. It's D1 football. Whatever happened to Dan Hawkins? Is he still around?
I don't know. He's blocked everyone on Twitter, so no one really knows where he is.
I think I'm blocked by him. I was so excited.
That being said, as much as we, you know, sit and say, like, seriously, what do you want from us people? They're practicing and we don't, you know, nothing's being decided right now. If I were to give you the option to watch game 3 of the preseason, Packers and Broncos, or the newly announced McGregor-Mayweather fight on August 26th, which would you watch?
Well, it's funny you say that because I'm not like a huge MMA guy, but I'd be interested to see how this goes, simply just because you're talking about two of the biggest trash talkers in all of fighting sports, and now they're finally going to do it again. This is almost like a throwback to win, simply just from a hype standpoint. I know that I can hear the boxing purist rolling over right now and ready to kill me. But simply from a build-up hype smack talk level, this is like Muhammad Ali sort of stuff right now. I mean, we haven't seen the type of smack talk between two fighters that we have than we're seeing right now. And this is, and to me, this is outstanding. Like the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight was, that was more of like a business deal than a grudge match. This feels like it's got an edge of anger to it.
A little bit.
These two might actually try and hurt each other in there as opposed to just get through 6 rounds and collect a paycheck.
So you would watch McGregor-Mayweather?
I would. Well, but yeah, you will also at the same time, it's at the same time as that Bronco preseason game. Really all not that telling, especially now that they changed the cut rule. So now the third game is less important now because now the fourth game is more important. And CSU kicks off their new stadium on August 26th as well.
Oh, that could have been our third choice.
Yeah,
wow.
That one's
CSU
interesting.
CSU opens up. They have their CSU versus Oregon State, 12:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, September 26th or August 26th, 29th. One of those days.
That day's going to work out perfect for you because you're going to have CSU – then the Broncos, and the fight won't be till like 9:30 or 10.
Right, but here's the best thing about CSU, which I think is a great bit of marketing by theirs. They moved the game time up, and they moved the start time and the date time up. It is the first college football game of the season. Of all the college football games, it's the number one game.
Oh, that's cool.
So I think it's very smart for CSU doing that. You've got your stadium. You've got excitement around Bobo. It's his third year. We feel like, you know, they feel like the Rams are really going to turn a corner. Nick Stevens is playing well at the end of the year, although I think a lot of Ram fans don't have a whole lot of confidence in Nick Stevens or not enough to put a lot of money on it. But I think they did a very good job of seizing an opportunity in a moment to get their face out there.
Last thing before we let you go.
This can't be the last thing.
Yeah, well, unless my partner to my right says something. Last thing from me before I let you go. Who conquers Aaron Hills this weekend? You got a pick for us?
Oh, gosh. Can I answer Mike Davis, the USGA president or CEO? I mean, maybe Mother Nature. I loved hearing Rory yesterday just basically tell all of his other professional golfers, if you think the course is too hard, then you're not good enough.
Bingo.
I thought that was outstanding. Because, listen, dude, it's supposed to be hard. If those guys want to play an easy course, God bless them. Come to Colorado Springs. I will buy them a $20 round at Patty Jewett. We'll play Peak and Plains. We'll have a couple beers, and we'll see how they do out there. But guess what? U.S. Open's not being played at Valley High. It's going to Erin Hills, one of the toughest courses in the world. It's like number 8 in the world right now, and it's only 10 years old. It's incredible. So if it's too hard, then get out of the way and let somebody else try it. Don't quit complaining about it. Maybe hit your ball straight. Or if you know that you hit a draw, then draw it out over there. Look, man, I'm a golfer. Chris is a golfer. We play. We know that it's easier said than done. My
yes.
point being is that you can't complain about the golf course being too hard in the U.S. Open or any of the major championships. It is what it is. They're not going to set it up so you can shoot 45 under. They're going to set it up so you can just break par or win right around 4 under par.
Well, when par is earned. I was going to ask you, one of those weird storylines or interesting for me is that Phil Mickelson supposedly is going to his daughter's graduation, but he hasn't withdrawn from the U.S. Open. Do you think it's possible that Phil Mickelson rolls in there tomorrow morning?
It's possible. I mean, if you listen to his interview after the St. Jude last week, you know, he laid out the whole scenario. It's not going to be easy. It almost seems downright impossible. And I really, really believe that he's not going to go. Listen, Phil is, what is he now, Chris? He's 45, 46 years old?
Yeah, I think he's 46.
His legacy is cemented. He will go down as one of the greatest players of all time. He'll go down as one of the best magicians, creative-minded golfers ever. He'll go down with an immense amount of wins. He won 3/4 of the Grand Slam, of the career Grand Slam. He never won the U.S. Open, but he finished, 6 times he's been runner-up? I think that's the most of anybody outside of Jack Nicklaus. So his legacy is cemented. But what he can't do, he can play in another U.S. Open. What he can't do is see his daughter graduate again. So I commend him for doing that. I also, at the same time, given the circumstances and the magnitude, maybe the school could move graduation.
Right.
It's not exactly like, you know, it's not exactly like he's like Brant Jobe and he's like the fourth alternate. He's the fourth alternate. Mickelson's well known, and I'm sure that community is well known, and I'm sure everybody looks at the schedule and goes, oh, this is going on sometimes the U.S. Open. Also, my other thing. California doing graduating this late? Didn't
I know.
Graduate like down here? Didn't they graduate like a month ago?
A couple
been
weeks
over with,
least.
And we've moved on.
Yeah.
Summer couple vacation they get when they're graduating like in the middle of June. Good lord.
So I guess now
Colorado is superior to California. You get a long summer break. Take that, Californians. Yeah.
They get to wear flip flops all year.
That's right, and we only get them for like 3 months out of the. Well, I mean, like 5 or 6. There's a lot of weirdos who wear shorts in the snow here.
That's true. Did you pick Rory, by the way?
I haven't picked anybody yet, but I just like the fact that he came out and basically just said, oh, I'm sorry, the course is too hard, Buttercup. Get off my course. I loved that. I'm so sick and tired of all these guys complaining that the course is too hard. What do you want it to be? You want to go play putt-putt? You want every green to be drivable? Like, get over yourself. So why not pick Rory? I mean, he's coming off of an injury. He hasn't played in forever, but I mean, sometimes rest is your best attribute, and he's doing it. On that same token, if Phil actually doesn't come out and play, I mean, it'll be the first time he's playing. He's the first time he's ever seen it. First time he's walked on it. He's never hit a ball there. But at the same time, who would not be shocked if Phil walked out there right off the plane and shot 1 over par?
That would be so Mickelson-y.
Right out of the plane, changes his shoes, you know, in the parking lot, takes a couple half-quarter practice swings on the tee, and fires off a couple missiles and shoots, you know, a 73 out there right off the plane. Who would be surprised by that?
Nobody.
All right, Drive Time Sports U.S. Open Draft continuing on. Did you write down the – no, nobody did.
Our picks?
No.
I wrote down our picks.
No, our listener picks.
I threw it away. I don't know why I did. I had it like 6 of them wrote down.
Okay.
And I just
so here's the dealio. If you don't know what's going on, we like to, before every major, pick a foursome of golfers, draft style, and whoever ends up winning wins. We got to put something actually on this one. But anyway, so that's what the three of us do, and we'll continue ours here in a moment. And you really
sounds
crumpled
like
that.
Limbaugh.
I did.
And then, or Jim Rome when he gets a bad
exactly.
email. So we're doing that. We've all gotten one pick. We'll let you know who it is in a moment, who we've picked in a moment. But you, the listeners, can also participate. Many of you already have, and for those of you just tuning in, we are giving you an opportunity. Here's the deal, though. You guys are just picking one-on-one, and whoever's golfer finishes the highest wins. So we have Aaron, who has Rory. These are in no particular order.
Yeah.
Craig has Thomas, Justin Thomas. Andrew has Ricky Fowler. Denali has DJ.
Yes.
Then we have...
Paul's got John Rahm.
Thank you.
Nathan has Kevin Costner. Kistner.
Kistner. Spieth also taken.
Yeah, Spieth was taken by Tanner.
That's right.
Denali had DJ, of course.
And then
Andrew's got Ricky. Did you get that?
Yep, I think that's it.
And Craig had Justin Thomas.
Thomas.
Okay, that's
so. There you go. McIlroy, Thomas, Fowler, Johnson, Rahm, Spieth, Kistner. Those are the picks so far. If you want to text us a golfer who you think will win, or at least who you think will finish the highest after all of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
286-0046. The winner will get a foursome and a cart at King's Deer up
yes.
in Monument.
And then we'll just put your name on the list, and you got to go play some G up at King's Deer, and it's in great shape. Are you adding that other thing, or we decided not to?
Yeah, sure. We'll throw in $25 to our good friends at Growler USA.
I've driven by it 1,000 times. There's this hot dog place next to it. It
they're
looks awesome.
They're new.
Uh-huh.
They have some awesome deals. They have happy hour deals that go on like all day long. They're awesome. And the most taps of beer and wine that you're going to find anywhere. So Growler USA, it's at Northgate if you want to check it out. But we'll pay for lunch or dinner, as it were, on
golf
the way up
and
or back.
Dinner.
There you go.
Boom.
So that's what we're doing.
Thank you, King's Deer and Growler.
Yeah, our picks.
Yeah, so Wheels is up.
Wheels actually. Picked Fowler.
Yes.
I picked DJ.
Boo.
The prohibitive favorite.
And I picked
And
Rory.
Then you pick Rory.
Yes.
Back around to Wheels.
Spieth.
Are you? Can you at least write down ours?
Okay, yeah, hold on.
Okay.
Wheels. I didn't know I was a stenographer.
I'm writing down our listeners.
You have the notebook.
I do. So Wheels has Ricky.
Yep.
And Jordan.
Kelly on the text line picks Lee Westwood. And then someone just picked Matsuyama, and I'm trying to get their name.
Yeah.
Jason.
You got Hideki.
Jason picks Jason Day. That is very
that
late.
That is a good one.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The 10th pick in the listener draft is Jason Day, believe it or not.
Yep.
All right. Continue. Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah.
I got to consult my draft board.
I lost my list.
consulting. Freaking internet. I will go with I think I'll go Justin Rose.
Justin Rose.
Yep. I'll go Justin Rose. Won the U.S. Open at Marion in 2013. That's
he's good.
Pretty similar course. One of the more all-around talented, kind of a jack of all trades.
Right.
Maybe a master of none. But I like Justin Rose. He'll be my second pick.
So you guys left one of the top guys for me, and I'm going to take Jason Day. So I got Rory and Jason already.
I got DJ and Justin Rose. All of our picks are good at this point.
I would say yours are probably the worst.
Mine?
I'm just kidding.
You always say that, and you're just trying to be mean.
All right. Wheels
turn. Back around to you.
Adam Scott.
Adam
That's
Scott.
A good one. Mr. Choker himself, Adam Scott. So, holy cow, there's so many to choose from. I'm so scared. I'm excited. There's a guy I want to pick only because I just love watching him play. I don't think he's going to win. Yeah, it's your
turn. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll take John Rahm.
John Rahm.
He is a little bit mercurial for my taste, but he's a young player, so that's reasonable to assume. Drives the ball pretty far, which is what it's going to take.
He's ranked up there, too.
So
Hideki's been playing good,
too. I'll take Rahm. So Steve is in for Matsuyama. So, Steve, just want to let you know that you got him. Albert, you came in with John Rahm. Rahm has already been picked. You got to go with someone else. And then John comes in with Serge.
All right. Holy cow. I don't know who to choose. I don't want any of those guys. I'm going to go down. I'm moving down. I'm going to use my gut here. I'm going to go Bubba. And the only reason I'm doing Bubba is because he hits it long. I think he's going to have a nightmare week. If he hits, and he does hit it offline, if he's hitting it offline, he might not get past Friday. But he has a chance to win because he's such a long hitter. That was a horrible choice.
Yeah, that was
a horrible choice.
He wasn't even on my draft board.
He's listed. He's 65-1.
Yeah, he's way down there.
Yeah, that was a horrible pick, Braden. I want to repick.
Nope.
If he gets pushed down the stairs like DJ did, then we'll pick a new one.
Okay, cool. All right, Wheels.
My final pick is going to be Duffner.
You know I was going to take him. That's my favorite guy to watch play golf. I love Jason Duffner. I like fat Jason Duffner better than skinny Jason Duffner, too.
This is the last pick, so you couldn't pick him anyway.
I know. I was going to pick him or Bubba, and I figured Bubba, but...
Well,
that was a good one. All right. Dang it. Ryan, your turn.
I know. I was just finishing up the listener draft.
Why don't you pick one that nobody knows or like people don't like? Like
Albert's going to go with Henrik Stenson.
Okay. Henrik's good.
So, Albert, you're in
You
with
should
Henrik.
Go with Alex okay. Noren.
No. I have my
Charles
draft
Schwartzel.
Board, and I'm going to stay true to it. Legit, but
you took Duffner. I love Duffner
with the second to the penultimate choice in the Drive Time Sports U.S. Open Draft. Ryan Kaufman selects Shane Lowry.
Oh, you can have him. There you go, Shane Lowry.
Shane Lowry.
So I have Mr. Irrelevant, is what I have.
Shane.
So here's who's available.
Everyone.
Hideki Matsuyama, Sergio. None of us took Henrik.
No.
Brandon Grace. Duffner.
Steve Strickler.
Yeah.
Steve Strickler got it. What did I say, Strickler?
Yeah.
Steve Stricker got an exemption because it's in his home state. You want to pick him?
No. Like, I want either Hideki. You know what? I'm just going with Serge. Serge is just kind of grumpy all the time. I'll take Sergio. Man, my grouping is really bad.
I haven't heard much from him. Okay, do you want
Sergio is 28-1.
Okay.
DJ's 29-4. Odds.
Here's the straight dizzle. Let me go through the list for the listeners. So be listening closely. If you want to get in on this, you can't pick one of these guys. Ready? Aaron has Rory. Craig has Thomas, first name?
Justin.
Andrew has Ricky Fowler. Denali has Dustin Johnson. Paul has John Rahm. Tanner has Jordan Spieth. Nathan has Kisner. Kelly has Lee Westwood. John has Sergio. Steve has Matsuyama. Jason has Jason Day. And Albert has Henrik Stenson. So if there is a golfer that you want to pick to get into the U.S. Open draft, feel free. We got 29 more minutes left in the show.
Can we do trades?
I'm not trading with you, so that's already one lane closed. If you want,
you don't
want
to trade Wheels. With me, Wheels. Do you want
to
trade?
How much?
You're no. I'll trade you. I'll trade you Jason Day for Jordan Spieth.
How much?
Lunch.
I will trade. Trade you.
Denied. You I'll buy you your favorite lunch.
How about this?
Denied. And donuts.
You give me. You give me Rory.
Yeah.
And I'll give you. I'll give you a blank space with a 72 each day.
Oh, no. Oh, that might win. I was going to pick Phil, but I was afraid you guys. My wife just texted. I'll take Tiger Woods. but the thing about it is that I wanted to. I have a weird feeling Phil's going to show up.
Okay.
And I want to take Phil.
I was going to pick him as a joke.
Okay. I know, me
well,
too, but I want him.
You're more than welcome in the next 20 minutes to change any of your picks as long
can
as you're
I
not
go
taking
Sergio slash Phil?
No, you can't go Sergio slash Phil.
Can
you
I have
go...
Phil, and then if you don't play, I can have Sergio?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I'm
cool
going
with
Phil
that,
Mickelson.
No.
Okay. Well, now
no.
you
vetoed it.
Just work out amongst yourselves. Coming up next, thanks to everyone who texted in, we will save your picks. And again, whoever's golfer finishes the highest during the U.S. Open will get a foursome and plus cart at King's Deer up in Monument. And we thank our fine friends at King's Deer for hooking us up and hooking you up with that. We will have U.S. Open updates twice an hour all weekend long, so you could stay up on it. Also want to thank Nate Bender, Grant Meech, and Joe Paisley for joining us on the show. We will be back with you tomorrow at 3 right here on Extra Sports 1300.